Shirley Cunningham knows what it's like to long for meaning in life. She was living in a small town in the Midwest when she felt the calling to become a nun. A few years later, though, she left the convent for good, to search for meaning outside the convent walls. She later married and divorced, but kept up her search for the holy. Cunningham writes about her spiritual search in the memoir called Chasing God. She told Steve Paulson that her later search for God drew her to images of the feminine divine.
I had the opportunity for a trip to the Holy Land. This would have been in the early 90s. And I loved being on the high places of Jesus and Abraham and Moses. I love those high places. But being in the places of Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't carry that power, strangely. And so I was looking for a way to pursue this sense of the presence of the feminine divine when I discovered the Black Madonna and the Black Madonna pilgrimages.
Can you tell me about them?
Well, I have a great interest in the theories of Jung, and the Black Madonna is an archetypal image, an archetypal figure. You probably could say in some ways even historical figures can assume that type of luminosity. Mary, Jesus, Mary Magdalene, whoever you care to name, as well as many goddesses and gods. And the Black Madonna, the fact of being black, the connection I made was with John of the Cross and the Dark Night of the Soul. The mystery and the fertility of darkness. And we go there in our spiritual lives. We go there many times, probably. Christian language, the death, rebirth, death, resurrection. We have to go into the darkness, and it's not to be feared. The darkness of the womb, I think connecting that to the woman and to the mother is another way to discuss it. Before I went on the pilgrimage, I checked it out with someone else who had gone. And I asked her, what did you really gain from this pilgrimage yourself? And she said, I'm no longer afraid of the void. And that spoke to me. I made the connection with the dark night of the soul. So all that is unknown in mystery, perhaps repressed or suppressed in our culture, much about the feminine divine probably belongs there. Maybe people of indigenous background, blackness in and of itself.
Where did you go to try to see these statues of the Black Madonna?
Well, primarily in France and one in Spain. The one that really stands out in France was Chartres. And, of course, people do associate that cathedral with the labyrinth, which was my association as well, until I found out there is a Black Madonna in the main floor of the church there and also in the crypt.
Now, when you say there's a labyrinth in the cathedral, mm-hmm. this is a kind of a maze where you're wandering around and you're mm-hmm. not sure where mm-hmm. it's going?
Well, the labyrinth is a meditation walk, actually, and it's built into the stones of the floor of the cathedral. And it's not like a maze. There is a path, but the circuits do loop, and some of them take you very close to the center early on. It's a metaphor for your life journey. And my experience at Chartres that really was the outstanding piece there was the labyrinth, not the Black Madonna, interestingly enough. Our group had an opportunity to be in that cathedral alone at night. We lit votive candles, put them around the perimeter of the labyrinth, placed a bouquet in the center. And we had two musicians with us, one woman, a student of medieval music. One of the other women was a singer and had Spanish. So they led us in this beautiful music in the empty cathedral, echoing in the darkness, just our candlelight. It really was powerful. And as we started to walk into the labyrinth, I was probably in the middle of a group of 20 or so, I began. And I had walked a labyrinth before, but I knew this was very powerful. Got part of the way into the labyrinth, and I literally couldn't move. I was paralyzed. I could not get my foot up off of the floor. And astonished, no way to explain an experience like that. After a minute, I thought it was funny, and then I got a little worried, and then I was embarrassed because people were coming behind me. And it seemed in the darkness of the cathedral, what came to me at that moment was, you aren't going anywhere unless I open the door before you. And if you do, it's because I have opened it. So stay with me. And my reflection on it later was that it was like the voice of a very loving mother talking to a much loved but not very bright child. Tolerant.
What was most important to you in this whole pilgrimage in search of Black Madonnas?
Well, in Montserrat, my mother had died the year before. And in fact, the little money that I had from the estate was part of how I wanted to salute her and the Holy Mother at the same time. When I got to Montserrat, this is the most majestic Benedictine monastery on top of mountains that are awe-inspiring. And that chapel is amazing. The statue is a very high point, and everything is very, very ornate. But when you get in there, this seated figure of the mother is holding the child in one hand, life-size figure, and the other hand is extended, holding the globe. And as the pilgrims file by that statue, the devotion is to kiss the hand of the mother. And when I reached that, it was as though it was my own mother's warm, living hand. Again, how do you explain this? I don't. But I'd been trying to grieve for a year and hadn't been able to really get in touch with my feelings. And it was this a dam burst. I was able to finally grieve, and I felt like it was the presence of the loving mother that made that possible for me. And that was really the most important part about the Black Madonna pilgrimage for me, or certainly one of the highlights. And interestingly enough, this was in spring. I sat outside the cathedral, kind of gathering myself together, and there were groups of pilgrims all around. I overheard men's voices singing Silent Night in German. And this is another one of those unexplainable things. Why is someone singing Silent Night in the spring? But my mother's favorite childhood memory that she told me all of her life was her father singing Silent Night to her as a lullaby at bedtime as a child. And every year at Christmas, she invited me to sing that to her. And so I just felt that her spirit had to be present in that moment.
At the end of your book, you say that we all have the power of the Illuminati. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's about light. And right before that part of the last chapter is a little poem that I wrote actually years ago when I was in the Franciscan community. It is silent there and still in that paralyzing presence. Time becomes transparent on the edge of now. Eternity slips through uncomprehending fingers. Is it darkness? Is it light? Being has no dimension, has no hue. Only the blurred outline of a whisper is there, not seen, not heard, but known. Ungrasped, but wholly known, infinite love gives there in the silence of that presence, an illuminating embrace. And that's the light that I'm talking about, that we each have that and can access it. In fact, we're called to do that, so that we can bring it into our world.
Shirley Cunningham is the author of the book titled Chasing God. She spoke with Steve Paulson.